Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Psalm 34. You know, it's important, two things of what I said in the offering, that, you know, number one, you don't get into condemnation. If you realize, you know, I haven't been a doer of the word, that can change. Just all you have to do is tell him you're sorry and start. I mean, that's how good he is, and that's how awesome he is. But it's also important to recognize that if you continue to not do the word of God and continue to, you know, like I said, balk at it or mock it, there has to be a reaping, not because God is interested in doing that, but because the wages of sin or disobedience or not doing what God has said leads to bad things. Amen? And so it's important not to get into condemnation, but it's also important, it's kind of like Jesus. Jesus told somebody one time, he said, stop sinning lest a worse thing come on you. That's what he said. But he also told the woman at the that was caught in adultery, he just said, the remedy for your problems is just stop what you're doing, right? Stop what you're doing and start doing the word. And so I encourage you, not just in tithing, maybe it's a bitterness issue with somebody. Maybe it's, you know, God put something on your heart to let the pastor know that you could serve someone. I don't know. There's lots of different things. God put on your heart to talk to somebody. Anything that God tells you to do or anything that's in the written word is the word of God. And maybe you just, you're not tithing. You're not walking in love. You're not forgiven. You're not, you know, whatever, being a blessing and being your work, yet work, you know, you only do work when your boss is around. Whatever, right? Anything outside the word of God that you just continue to, it's going to cause things to happen. And so I don't want to see that to anybody. So that's why be a doer of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 34. Can you turn me down just a hair, please? I can hear a ring. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Thank you. This past Wednesday, we looked at the body of Christ's job. Now, we have more than just what I said, but these are the main things that the Spirit of God pointed out that night. And I love what somebody said to me in a text message. They said they could sense that it was labeled priority mail to be delivered Wednesday, and it was. You know, it just dropped into my heart that we needed to hear those things. And so make sure you listen. But that was about the body of Christ and doing things. And today's going to be more personal towards you. And I know people like those kind of messages, but it just seems that's what God has on my heart. It's a word in season for us. Right now. And so just receive it, eat it up, and be blessed. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for all you have done, all that you're doing right now, and all that you'll continue to do. There's none as faithful as you, Father. And Lord, it breaks your heart when we don't cooperate with what you've said, because I guess if I were God, I would think, I don't understand why people don't listen to me. Don't they understand that I'm God and that everything I say is right and everything I say is perfect and everything I say is true and everything I say is for my children's benefit? And so, Father, forgive us, but help us, Lord, to be doers of the word. Open our eyes to those things. And not that you're mad or angry, but Father, we need help in these areas, because we don't want to reap what is there for the taking when we don't obey. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for the word. It's a light. It's a roadmap. It's a GPS to where we need to go. So help us this morning. You know what needs to be said, Father, so speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you. We'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. Father, you are a spiritual assassin. You hit the mark. You hit the bullseye. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Hallelujah. God's goodness is something that is evident throughout the word. I mean, just the fact of what he did for us through Jesus is proof enough that, wow, he's probably pretty good. Amen? That the Bible says that the condition that we were in when he sent Jesus was ungodly, we were sinners, and we were enemies of God. All three of those words are found in Romans chapter 5. So that was the position we were in when he bought us or accepted us or loved us so much that he sent Jesus. He basically walked into a store and saw the most defective item on the shelf, the most tainted and tarnished item on the shelf and said, I'm going to pay full price for that. I need that. And it was us. Hallelujah. And so that in itself is a demonstration of his goodness, right? But thanks be to God, it didn't stop just at the cross, right? I mean, where I grew up, it did stop at the cross. And I'm not even sure that my wife and where she came from, they even got to the cross. But a lot of places stop at the cross. But the Bible says he wants you to taste and see that he's good. Well, what is his goodness? His goodness are his promises. His goodness is him, what he has for mankind. 2 Corinthians 1:20, we don't have to turn there and mark it down if you want to. It says, for all the promises of God are yes and amen. I'm not an English major, but the end of the word promise has an S on it, which means there's more than one. Amen. It's plural, right? Yeah. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, his promises are his goodness. Right. And notice this verse says that God wants you to taste and see that he's good. He wants you to experience his goodness. Notice it doesn't say, I want you to hear about my goodness. I want you just to read about my goodness. No, tasting and seeing are personal experiences. God is saying, taste and see that he is good. Taste and see that he is good. He said, I want you, children, to experience my promises. I want your life to be different because you're tasting and seeing my goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? But for that to happen, it's not enough to just know that God is good. You have to know that God wants to be good towards you. It's not enough to just, oh, God is good, and then when it comes to yourself, well, I don't know if he wants to. No, you have to, if you're going to experience his goodness, because what does that verse go on to say? Blessed, what's blessed? Experiencing his goodness. Blessed is the man that trusts in him, or blessed is the man that believes him. That's what trust is belief. So if you don't believe in God's goodness towards you, you are not going to experience God's goodness towards you. You have to make it personal. And I want to help you with that today. I love, Josh, I guess we'll pull this up. Psalm 20, I think it's 27 and verse 13. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I don't have it in my notes, but it just popped up into my heart. Yeah. David said this. He said, I had fainted, or I would have fainted. One translation says, actually, it's the Amplified. We won't pull that up. He said, what would have become of me? He's saying, I'd have fainted. Or one translation said, I would have despaired. Or what would have come of me? He's saying, something wouldn't have been good unless, notice the wording here, I had believed. That's the trust, right? Unless I, he's making it personal. He says, what would have become of me? Or I would have fainted. Or I would have despaired if I personally didn't believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's saying my life would have suffered if I didn't have the expectation that God was going to be good towards me. Because if you don't have the expectation that not that God is just good, but that he's good specifically towards you, you won't see that. And David said, I'd have despaired. I'd have fainted. What would have become of me? Notice he didn't say, I would have fainted if I didn't see God's goodness. No, he takes it a step even backwards. He said, I would have fainted if I didn't even have the belief to see God's goodness. He's saying the belief of God's goodness in his life kept him going. Amen. And didn't he have an expectation? Yes. What did he say in Psalm 23? He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. That means I'm going to wake up and right behind me is going to be goodness and mercy. Amen. Right? The two stalkers. The two stalkers that we don't call the police on. Yeah. Just leave them be. If you see them follow me around, leave them be. I want them there. Goodness, you stay right behind me. Mercy, you stay right behind me. Don't kick them away. Ushers, they're all right. They can get as close as they want to me. They can crawl all over me. Praise God. And David said that. Why? He said, if I didn't even expect. But see, most people don't have a personal touch on it. They know God's good, but when it comes to them receiving God's goodness, they're not sold out. Well, faith is sold out. Amen. Faith, there's no doubt at all. Faith is convinced 100%. And David said, I'm convinced 100%. I'm going to see God's goodness. I'm going to see God's goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 11:6 real quick. Talking about a personal touch of God's goodness. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But where I want to focus is on this next line. For he that cometh to God, okay, must believe that He is, okay? Must believe that God's real. But it goes on to say what? That he, now this is personal, the individual believer, must believe that He is, but they also must believe, be sold out, that He's a rewarder. Amen. You see that there? Must believe that He is a rewarder. God says, if you're going to come to Me and receive of Me, you have to be sold out to the fact that I want to reward you. Yes. It goes along with what David said. It goes along with, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David said, you got to believe it, right? You got to make it personal. Let's take it even a step further. Because, and let's face it, this is the way most people are. I'm not saying most people in here, but most people. It's not enough to know that God could do it for you. And when I say for you, there's a whole host of things and lists that we could fill out. Maybe you're believing for a baby. Maybe you're believing for a spouse. Maybe you're believing for a new home. Maybe you're believing for a new car. Maybe you're believing for a new job. Maybe you're believing for fill in the blank. Yeah. It's not enough to know that God can do it. Yeah. You have to step over into the realm of, I know God is going to do it. And He wants to do it for me. Making His goodness a personal touch. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what He gave me, so this is what we're going. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper. And he worshipped Jesus, saying, now look at what his words were. Lord, if You will. Now that's, we don't talk that way anymore, but basically that's in the way we talk now. Lord, if You're willing, what's He say? Make me clean. He didn't have a problem with knowing that Jesus could do it. Right? That's why He came to Him. Because He had the fame, the Bible said the fame of Jesus went out about. So obviously when this Jesus came in this guy's region, he heard, wow, I'm dealing with this and I've heard what He can do. So he goes to Jesus and he doesn't say, Lord, if You can do it. He knew Jesus could. Where he was struggling was, do You want to do it for me?
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
do You want to do it for me, Lord? See, if you think that whatever you want in life, or I'll say it this way, whatever you desire in life isn't important enough for God to do it for you, then you do not have a revelation of His goodness towards you. If whatever you can say in your life right now, Pastor Mike, this is what I'd fill in the blank with. Baby, spouse, house, car, new wardrobe, better job, this, that, whatever. If you can say, I'm not so sure that He would want to do that for me. If you have this kind of an attitude, well, you know, there's more important things in the world. You don't have a revelation of His goodness.
Right.
Oh, well, there's more pressing issues. You don't have a revelation of His goodness. And I'm going to show you that today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in verse 2, he said, Lord, if You can, or not if You can, he said, Lord, if You will, You can do it. If you're willing, I know You can do it. Jesus put forth His hand, touched him, saying, now notice this, the leprosy didn't go away until Jesus dealt with the man's belief system. He said to him, I will. Or he basically said, yes, I want to. Of course I want to. Why wouldn't I want to? I love people. Am I, a question to you, or I don't know if it's a question, however it comes out of my mouth, we'll see if it's a question that I pose to you today, is God to say to you, why wouldn't I want to in your life? Whatever's hindering your mind to think, yeah, to not be 100% all in of, yes, you definitely want to do that for me. Whatever is hindering that, my question is, why wouldn't he want to? Amen. Why wouldn't he? You don't have a revelation of his goodness. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that's why I always say, and people get mad at me for saying it, and people try to challenge me on this, but you're going to lose. The top spot of being the most loved Christian on the earth is taken. Stop pointing to yourselves out there in the crowd. You are all below me. I'm number one. I don't know why you don't understand this. I am by far his most favorite. I am by far his most loved. The things I want and desire are number one on his list. Not your stuff. Now, of course, if you don't know better, you might think I'm a jerk. But I'm not. I'm trying to. I obviously know that's not the truth, but that's the way I believe. That's the personal touch that I have with my God. If he's going to stop heaven and earth for one person, me. If he's going to jump over a million people to get to one person, me. Why? I have a revelation of his goodness. And see, when you get a revelation of his goodness, you'll be one of those people in the back saying, uh-uh, Pastor Mike, me, I'm number one. And I'll just tell you, you're wrong. Just keep telling you, you're wrong. I tell the story because it's so funny. I remember I preached on pride one week, and then the next week I said something along those lines, that God loves me the most, and this young guy came up to me, and he was so confused, bless his heart. He said, Pastor, I am so confused, you need to help me. He said, last week you taught on pride and how bad it was to think that you were so wonderful, and then today you told me you were so wonderful to God. He said, I'm so confused. I said, brother, I'm really kind of just kidding. I know I'm not more loved than everybody, but I'm trying to get people to raise their level of expectation. I want you to fight me for that spot is what I'm saying. I want you to believe that pastor's under you. You're wrong again, but I want you to believe it. At least, you know, they say perception is reality. So go ahead and keep believing that if you want. But, I mean, second place isn't bad, right? I mean, that's good. But that's what I'm saying is, in my life, I know the things I'm believing for, they're not just pie in the sky and, oh, I just hope. I know God is on top of these things, that he has a desire to help me. Hallelujah. And he wants to help you this morning. I was, we took Caleb and Abby, we took a trip, and I kept it top secret because I didn't want Caleb to ever. I wanted to surprise him the day of. The morning he woke up on a Monday morning, he thought he was going to school, and he wasn't. He was going on a trip. And we told him, and he was in awe, you know, and just couldn't believe it. Thought he was going to school that morning, and he realized he'd have to go to school. That was exciting enough to not know that. But then when we were going on a trip, and after I told him, and he knew I wasn't kidding, because I kid with him a lot, he ran to me and buried his face right here and just squeezed me. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. When he did that, up from my heart came, how much more your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to those. Right? I want to show you something here because God uses natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. He does all the time in the Word. And, of course, we got to line them up with the Bible to make sure they're true, but is it taking liberties to say that you can see how God is by looking at a good natural parent? It's not taking liberties. It's the Bible. It's the Bible using, Jesus actually used a natural illustration. Because I can tell you this, the look on his face and the embrace that he gave me and the excitement in his eyes did something to me as his dad, right? And those of you that have children, I'm hoping it's the same way, that when your kids are happy, grandkids, and you bless them and you see them excited and you see them full of joy, that doesn't bother you. That doesn't upset you. That fires you up.
Yeah.
And it did something to me and not a heart. How much more? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to verse 9. And let's see, can we compare this feeling that I had towards my children when we bless them with anything, take them somewhere they're excited to go, and it excites me to see a smile on the face? Can we equate that to the Father and how He views us? Absolutely. Matthew 7 and verse 9 says, "What man is there of you?" So Jesus is talking to a group of parents here. Men is what He says here. "What man is there among you? If his son asked for bread, he would give him stone." Well, the obvious answer to those parents in that setting were, nobody would do that, right? Unfortunately, there are parents out there that will do stuff like that, but we're talking about good parents here. Verse 10, he says, "Or if he asks for fish," Jesus is kind of being, I don't want to say sarcastic, but almost like just, you know, really, he knows the answer to this question. Would that be rhetorical? Is that the word, right word, when you ask a question you know the answer to?
Yeah.
Wow. That felt good to say a word like that. And actually be right. I'm not going to lie. I said it, and I'm like, oh, I think I just jumped off the diving board. I hope there's water in the pool. That's exactly what I felt when I said that word. And now I'm going to tell you, it feels pretty good to be right, to say a big word like that. Sorry, I'd get back on case. This is how my brain works. My brain was going from scared to party like that. So I thought I'd just share that with you. And then he says in verse 10, he asks another rhetorical question. "Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent?" What's the answer, the obvious answer? No. So then Jesus says, "If you then, being evil..." Well, wait a second. He just got done saying they're good parents. But see, in comparison to the Father, our love is nothing. It doesn't even compare. But he's saying, if you then, who are good parents, who take care of your children, know how to give good gifts. Now, he even ups it now. And this is what I love about Jesus. He doesn't want your mind to just be, well, yeah, I can have food and clothing. No, now he says gifts. Food is not a gift to my child. Food belongs to him as a human being, right? But Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts, he knows he's in company of good people, that they're blessing their children. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And when Caleb buried his face into me and squeezed me and said, "Thank you, Dad," how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask him? He's saying, if on earth good parents will do gifts for children, because what, when I get Caleb a toy, I mean, come look at his playroom. He don't need anymore. It's not based on a need. When we take him somewhere, it's not based, when we go to Chuck E. Cheese and he loves it, that's not based because he needs that. You can live a good life and never go to Chuck E. Cheese. It might be hard because that's a pretty kind of neat place there, but it doesn't need it. But he enjoys it and it does something to me. I love it when he is so happy, right? Well, the Father says, how much more? How much more? How much more do I want to do good things and give my children good gifts? Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Go to Psalm 37 and verse 4. Praise his name. What is it? See, you know where we've got religious is we have... And this, I guess, is kind of, here's the awesome thing. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God will meet all your needs." So that means if you have a need, it's taken care of. You don't have to wonder if God wants to do it for you or if God wants to meet that need. It's already in there. But see, where we've gotten religious is we think, well, if it goes above a need, is he really that interested? If it's above and beyond, well, he just got done saying that we as parents love to give good gifts. The gifts I give my child are not life-sustaining things. Legos and Star Wars things. And Abby is obsessed with Frozen and Elsa, the princess. We buy her shirts and castles. They're not needed for life. They're gifts, but it blesses the parent giving them. And Jesus said, how much more? And he used gifts. So he's saying God will even go above gifts. Glory to God. Well, we don't see God that way a lot of times. We get religious thinking and think, well, he said he'd meet my needs, so oh, I just, you know, I'm just going to say it. Sorry to say. I don't know what, I don't know everybody's situation. My car, albeit it's got rust from head to toe and it's got four baldy tires on it and it breaks down, but it, you know, it gets me from A to B. I sure like to believe him for a better one, but you know, my needs are met. I get from A to B. You don't have a revelation of God's goodness. You know, my house really kind of need more room. We're all crammed. It's not very, not much of a blessing here. But you know, I have a roof over my head. And it's one thing to be content and to be thankful. But when you kick it over to the religious aspect where you're thinking, I don't think God would be interested in me asking for something better. You don't have a revelation of how good he is to you. Well, you know, I sure would love to, you know, have more of a choice of clothes to wear and a better wardrobe and maybe even a more expensive or better quality clothes. But you know, I do have a shirt on my back and I do have some pants. I don't know if I could. You don't have a revelation of God's goodness in your life. Praise God. Until you get a revelation of God's goodness in your life, you won't see God's fullness. But let's see what the Word says. Don't take my word for it. Take the Word's word for it. Psalm 37 in verse 4, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you just the needs of your life. What? Oh, that's not what it says. He says he will give you the desires, here it is personal, of your heart. You know what I found is that the desires of my heart might be different than your heart. But he says, I'm looking personally at you. Yeah. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have desires to shop all the time. Why? Not sure yet. Still trying to figure it out. But I have a desire to be in the woods all the time. Some of you are thinking, you are crazy. Different desires. But the Father said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Remember, we're not talking about needs. Needs are already taken care of. We already know that verse. He'll meet all your needs. You don't have to desire food and clothing and a shelter over your head. Those are in the package of needs. But he says, I'll take it a step further and give you gifts and desires now. I will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, praise God. The desires of your heart. And let's take it even a step further. You can look at this verse two ways, and then both ways are right, because the second way you can look at it, the next verse proves that out. But you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the way of the desires that you have, God will make them come to pass, which verse 5 says that. He says, commit your ways unto him, and he'll make it come to pass. Talking about what? The desires. Also, you can look at that God will give you, so there's you, nothing in your body. God gives you those desires. Some of those things that are in there were God-given. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't know why. Ever since I was a young boy, I have been obsessed with the white-tailed deer. But I am. I love it. Every time I see a deer, it's never mundane, repetitive. Oh, that's just another. It is. I see a roe coming. Ooh, I want to go touch it. I want to go look at it and just examine it. I love deer, right? Always have had that desire. Well, I truly believe God put that in my heart. I do. Because God knew that there'd be a thing with hunting and outdoors that I would enjoy. He said he's given us richly all things to enjoy. Praise God. Some of you have different desires. Some of those things have been put in your heart, right? Praise God. But either way, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Not needs, things you're desiring that might, are you ready? Now this is going to really be scary ground. He might actually even give you desires that go above something you need. Why? Because that's what dads and moms that love their kids do for them. And Jesus said, I'm a how much more daddy. That's what he said the Father is. God is a how much more daddy.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't stop it. Well, Caleb, you got your clothes and your food. No, let's go fun places. Oh, you like that toy? Okay, let's bless you with that. Oh, you want to do that? Let's do that. Nothing to do with needs. Why? I love them. How much more? God's a how much more God. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Go with me real quick to, let's go to Romans 8 and verse 32. What is it that you are desiring? And if it's a need, you ought to just be thankful that the needs will come to pass. But what is it that you're desiring? We're talking about things above and beyond needs. We're talking about personal things here. Maybe it's a better home. Maybe it's a better vehicle. Maybe it's a better job. Maybe it's the spouse of your dreams. But I don't know. Fill in the blank. Maybe it's a baby. Glory to God. Maybe it's stuff and a trip. Wow! Wouldn't that be amazing that God would actually want you to go on vacation and have a good time? I mean, really? God is interested? Absolutely. He's a how much more God. How much more God? Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely," everybody say freely, "give us what things? All things." That includes your needs. That includes your desires. Why? A desire is an all. A need is an all. Absolutely. I won't get into too much detail. A lot of you have already heard the story, but I want to just kind of give you the thought process behind. Everybody knows I love to hunt. I make that known. I try not to make it a huge deal, but I just, when I tell stories about my life and things about me, that's just one of the main things that I enjoy doing. And I have a desire. There's something about a white-tailed buck, a big one, the ones you put on the wall, that they're unlike any other animal. They're almost like ghosts in the woods. They're just so, they're so hard to get, and they're just so, they're spooky. And what I mean by that, they're not scary, but they're just, they hide all the time. Just very hard animal to get, and they're very rare to be seen. And around here, it's hard to get into good quality deer hunting like that because of some of the laws and the way people manage property and just things like that. And also, the ground isn't as good as the Midwest. But states like Ohio and Kentucky and Kansas and Illinois and Ohio and Michigan, some of those Midwestern states have awesome soil for genetics and for minerals and different things to grow huge deer. Well, I've always had a desire to actually see these kind of deer in the woods and actually be able to hunt those deer. It's been a burning desire. Now, again, it's important to understand our desires never trump our service and doing the Word of God.
Right.
What I mean is, at one point in my life, hunting got out of control. And the Spirit of God said, lay that aside. Put that down. Back off of those things. Why? It took place of God. Well, that's when it gets to be a problem. So we're talking about in the confines of the will of God, keeping God first, praise God. And so I got to thinking to myself, man, I'd sure desire that. Around here, it gets frustrating year after year. If you see a decent one, man, they're so few and far between, and you hear stories of all these guys. And I was walking my dog one day, and I was thinking about, that's what I was thinking about. Wasn't thinking about how to save all the hungry people in the world. Wasn't thinking how to save the world. I was thinking about me and how I can hunt bigger deer. And I was walking, I thought, man, maybe I should start practicing what I preach. I said, he said he'd freely give me all things. Freely give me all things. Well, he said in Matthew, where he said in verse 7 and verse 9, what son would he give a stone or a serpent? Before then, in verse 7, he said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and everyone that knocks, it shall be opened unto you. And then he goes on and says, or what man among you, he's trying to say, listen, all you have to do is ask me. All you have to do is ask me. And so I did. I said, Father, I have a desire. You said, and this is what I put him to the fire, not that he needed to be, but it helped my faith. I said, you said in your words you'd give me the desires of my heart. I have a desire to do this. And Father, you love me. You're a how much more kind of God. I know there's more important things in the world, but this, because it's important to me, it's important to you. Amen. Do you understand that when Caleb wants a Kylo Ren little Star Wars toy, that there's more important things in the world going on, but as his dad, I want to make sure that kid's blessed and happy. Now, not, you know, spoiling and you know, things like that. Yeah, teach them. There's a balance there. But I'll tell you what, I love blessing my kids. I love blessing my kids. Yeah, there's more important things to do and more important, but I love blessing my kids. It's exciting to me, and God's how much more.
Amen.
And I got to thinking when he hugged me and said, thank you, Dad, how the Father must feel when we all get something in our lives that we desire, how excited he must be, right? So I said, Lord, you said that, so I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you right now for a connection to the Midwest to be able to hunt deer. It wasn't 3 weeks later, right, where that Amish gentleman invited me. I went up to Buffalo. The Holy Ghost told me to go. Went up there, laid hands on his child that was in the hospital, not knowing anything about their hunting situation. And then they asked me to be on a lease in Ohio, right? And now I'm the main guy that they go hunting with and rely on me in a spot where in 2 weeks of hunting, I saw more big bucks than I saw in years of hunting around here. And now I'm in. I'm in! You know what's crazy? Because what happened in that situation of being connected there was a dream come true. But years earlier, I had asked God, I guess there's two things I've been kind of obsessed with since I was younger. The white-tailed deer, and I want to get backstage with the Amish. Say, what is wrong with you? I don't know. That's just what I've always wanted to do. I've always been intrigued with their lifestyle. I've told you this. And that connection, one time, 2 years ago, I was sitting in the basement of this refinished basement, humongous basement, one of the most beautiful homes I've ever been in, this Amish home. And there's 30-some Amish people. Half of them were Amish kids that don't even speak English yet because they don't learn it until they're about 4 years old. They learn Pennsylvania Dutch first. They all have their little bowl haircuts, and they're looking at me like I just got off a spaceship because I got my English clothes on, and I'm talking all weird, and they're just like this at me because normally 90-some percent of the time they just speak Pennsylvania Dutch. They only speak English when someone like me is around, you know, and so those kids are like, what is he saying? Cutest little things in the world, and we're sitting there, and they made homemade pizza. And they're refusing to eat first. They're saying, I'm the guest of honor. I have to go first. And I got my food, and I went back and sat down. And I looked around, and I knew that night I was going to be spending the night in the home. And I knew the connection. And I started literally crying while everybody was getting their food. I said, my God, Lord, it came to pass. What? I had asked him earlier, Father, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be rude, trying to gawk at people or be a starer or anything. I just want to know more about this and have a connection. I said, I'm spending the night here. I'm in an Amish home. I'm the minority here. Woohoo! This is awesome. But here's the thing I want you to see about that, is that God is not like a natural parent. And that what I'm about to say about a natural parent, it's responsible, it's not bad. But I was in Walmart the other day, walking by the toy section, going to the hunting section. And there was a little boy with his mom. And I heard her say as I walked by, the Spirit of God ministered to me about this week, said, now if you get that toy, that's all you can get. You can't get anything else. Now, that's not irresponsible. That's responsible as a parent. You know, you have a budget. You can't just, if you gave into everything your kids want, you'd be broke, right? Or it wouldn't teach them anything either. So that was responsible. But what I want you to understand is God's not like that. What do I mean by that? We think in our minds at times, well, you know, here I really do need a nicer car. I really would like a nicer car. And I really would like newer and updated clothes and better clothes. Okay, I'll ask God for the clothes and then I'll just stay with the car. And we think, well, you know, I already asked him. That's not how God works. He is an all-fulfilling God. Amen. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is I can ask for a connection to hunt in the Midwest, but also be asking the same time, Lord, send laborers to this church to help me. Lord, thank you for all the money and doing what we would call more serious things. But see, you have to understand. Are you ready for this revelation that just came in my heart? You are serious to God. Your stuff is serious to him. My son's recreation and happiness and joy and laughter is important to me. It is. How much more? How much more? How much more? Start thinking about your own. Oh, I want that house. How much more? He wants to see you in it. He wants to see you driving it. He wants to see you wearing it. He wants to see you full of joy at the pregnancy test. He wants to see you full of joy on your wedding day. He wants to see it. Stop thinking, well, there's hungry kids and starving and We can do that too. You're important to him. Your stuff is important to him. Why? Because my kids' stuff are important to me, but he's a how much more daddy. Go to John 16, 24, and we'll get ready to wrap this thing up. Oh, thank God for the air conditioning. Ooh, I was wondering if it was working. John 16, 24. You got to get a revelation. You are important. He said, how? He said, I'll freely give you all things. He's already saying, my goodness, I gave you Jesus. Why do you think a house is a problem? I gave you Jesus. You think a car is an issue? John 16, 24. Ooh, praise God. He loves us. He loves us. He doesn't want you to have to compromise on who you're going to be with, compromise on your life. He wants you to have the best of everything. Hallelujah. John 16, 24. Let's find out if this is real or not. Hitherto or up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Just ask. Ask and you'll receive. Ooh, he says, ask, you'll get it. Ask and you'll receive. Why? Look at this last line. That your joy. Everybody say my joy. Guess what? Your joy and my joy might be different. Your pie chart of joy might not have a sliver of connection to the Midwest or connection with the Amish. In fact, it probably doesn't. If anyone else has that same desire, let's talk. It'd be fun to talk about it. It might have other things, but God is saying, ask me. I want to see your joy full. Your joy might not be full in your house. Ask him. Your joy might not be full in the vehicle you're driving. Ask him. Your joy might not be full in the clothes you're wearing. Ask him. Ask him. He says, I want to see your joy full. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so good. Again, I'm using almost dumb examples in the sense of, I mean dumb, in comparison naturally, not to God. Now, remember, our stuff's important. I understand that me getting a connection to the Midwest, when it comes to me and my plan of God, is not more important than me fulfilling what God has for me, praying out the plan. I get that. But see, to God, there's no give and take. I don't have to trade off one for the other. I don't have to. Hallelujah. He's good, isn't he? So why I say that is because another revelation I had years ago, and I've told this story before too, is that for years hunting in the woods, I never saw a bear. Never saw a bear. And I was getting frustrated because I want to see bears. I think they're awesome. They're like my favorite animal. I go to a zoo, something about a bear. I just love them. I wasn't seeing them in the woods. I'm talking about almost 20-some years of being in the woods, probably more than that when you think about it from youth going in the woods with my dad. Never saw a bear. People all around me seeing bears all the time. So I remember one day I was driving back from getting ice cream, and I had this crazy idea. Why don't you just ask him? He said he'd give you the desires of your heart. I did. I said, Father, I want to see more bears. I mean, you might want to find a different church. That your pastor said, Father, make sure all the hungry, make sure all the... No, Father, I want to see more bears. Why? My stuff's important to him. Your stuff's important to him. I want to see more bears. So, Father, I thank you. I receive it. I receive it. I asked you. You said I'll receive it if I ask. For my joy to be full. My joy is not full right now. It wasn't. Every time I go in the woods, just a little bit of my joy wasn't full. Why? I wasn't seeing bears. I asked him. Within 2 years' time, I saw about 13 bears. In less time of the woods than I'd ever spent in the woods. That's not coincidence, folks. Oh, that's just coincidence. Really? 13 of them? One of them, I told you, came this close to me. The wind was at my back going in front of me, so anything in front of me would have smelled me, but anything behind me wouldn't have. And I was leaning against a tree, opening day of Pennsylvania rifle season. It was raining. I was hunting in hemlocks. So the ground was real quiet, and right about when it started to get light out, I noticed something coming over my back shoulder. And I thought, oh, that might be a deer. I was getting ready. I don't even know if I could have seen through my scope to shoot it yet. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's a bear? And I'm not kidding you. It came this far. I couldn't have touched it with my hand, but if I had reached my gun out, the bear walked right by me. I was terrified and excited all in the same moment. I was. But when the bear left, I just started praising God. I said, my goodness. That bear didn't even know I was there, and it just walked right by me. I asked you for it, and you gave it to me almost a little too good. Can I tell a real funny, quick story? Maybe it's not funny. When I first met Courtney, she's easy to make laugh, which makes me feel really cool. Her dad's the same way. I get around them, I feel like I'm Mr. Comedian, right? And so I'd say dumb things with her when we first got together because it would make her laugh because they'd be so stupid. But one of the things I would always say is, we'd go on walks in the woods, I'd say, I hope I get eaten by a bear. What a way to go. I used to say that all the time, or just because she'd laugh. And then I'm thinking, when that bear came by, I said, Lord, I didn't know you have what you say worked back then. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this, Mark 11:24. Oh, man. Mark 11:24. Your stuff's important to him. Your desires. Hallelujah. Okay, so when you get sold out to the fact that he's a how much more God, when you can say, if maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your dad, stop looking at God that way. Look at my life. I love my children. There's also parents in here that absolutely love their children. But look at my life. You know I love my children. You know I love to bless my children. But the Bible says God's a how much more than me and what I do with my kids. So maybe if you had a bad relationship with your parent and you can't, it's hard for you to imagine that, well then look at it in the terms of Pastor Mike and the way he is with his kids. He's a how much more kind of a God. He said in verse 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, there it is again, what things soever you need. Does it say that? What things soever you desire. Now notice this. When you pray, well, what's the when you pray? The when you pray is the asking or the releasing of the faith. That's the, Father, I want to see more bears. Send more bears my way. Father, I would love to have a backstage pass with the Amish. Father, I would love a connection to the Midwest. That's when you pray. When you pray, believe you receive it. That's why I said, Father, I want to see more bears. And what I say after that, I receive that in Jesus' name. I had then on, when I would go into the woods or go on a drive in the country, I had an expectation to see more bears because I had released my faith and received it back when I prayed. Yeah. That's what you do. You realize he wants to meet your desires. You release your faith for the desire. And then the Bible says, if you believe it, you shall have them. Josh, just pull this up real quick. Colossians 4 and verse 2. And you can all shut your Bibles. We're done here, but I want to bring this up. After you've released your faith, Colossians 4 and verse 2. It says, continue in prayer. But how do you continue in prayer? Does that mean every day I go, Father, I want to see more bears. Father, I ask to see more bears. Father, I ask you to see more bears. No. Faith, he heard it the first time. Faith knows that I said it one time, he heard me. But the Bible says continue in prayer and watch in the same or watch over that prayer with what? Thanksgiving. Yeah. Every time you think of it, make it a point every day. Wake up, Father, every time I go on a drive, every time I go in the woods, Father, I thank you, I see more bears. Every time the thought would come about not having good places to hunt, Father, I thank you for a connection to good hunting ground. Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for filling the blank. Hallelujah. Father, I receive that child. I thank you, Father. Every time you think of it, every time the devil tries to, Father, I thank you for that baby. Every time you think of it, and every time the devil comes in, you're going to be single, you're going to be alone your whole life. I thank you for that spouse, that godly spouse. The money, I thank you for the money. Thank you, Father, for that car. Thank you, Father, for that better house. Every time, right? Hallelujah. And don't be alarmed when it doesn't come to pass overnight. Some of these things takes time and rearranging and shifting of the pieces and different things. But if you believe you receive it, you will have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's give him praise this morning. Father, we love you. Hallelujah. You know what you need to say? Close your eyes and worship. You need to say, Father, we love you and we know you love us. Hallelujah. We know you love us. We know you are good. Father, I will continue to see your goodness. I will continue to see your goodness. You are a faithful, faithful God. We love you. We praise you. Bless your name. Glorify you. Magnify you, Father. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Praise your name, Jesus. Bless you. Thank you. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. You know, when you realize what he did for us on the cross, your house, your car, your spouse, your child, your needs, your wants, the things you want to do, vacations and fun things, they're so small when you realize what he did for you with Jesus. He sent Christ to die on the cross for your sins. That's the greatest demonstration and act of love he could have ever done. But by that gift, all these other things are just, they're easy, they're simple. It shouldn't be a point of contention in your mind if God wants you to have a better house because of what he did for you through Jesus. Amen. But the Bible says that not everybody gets to partake of this. Not everybody gets this to come their way. It requires one to receive Jesus. He's not going to force himself on you, and he's not going to make you have to receive his goodness, but if you want to, you can. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever formally accepted Jesus into my heart. Well, what does that mean? That means that you believe that he was, you have faith in him. The Bible says if you believe on Jesus, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So that means you believe on Jesus, you believe he died and rose again, but now you need to accept him. You accept him by asking him into your heart. By asking him, you're letting him know, I want you, Lord. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't think I've ever formally accepted Jesus. I've been a good person. I've gone to church. I've tried to do all the right things in life. I thought maybe that would get me into heaven. Well, that doesn't. There's a lot of good people that unfortunately die and go to hell. It's not about your good works, your bad works, your giving, your non-giving, your church attendance, or lack thereof. It's about what you do with the Son Jesus. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass anybody, but if you're here and you can say, I want to receive Jesus for the first time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you want to receive Jesus this morning. Would you lift your hand in the air? Anybody that's never done that before in here? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we are all born again. But if there's someone listening by live stream or somebody in here that maybe was shy, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've made Jesus their Lord. Father, I pray that you would the revelation would come to them how simple it is. All you have to do is say, Lord, I do believe in you. Come into my life. And then the next step is to get faithful in a local church, wherever that is. Just make sure they're teaching the Bible. Get faithful there and start to learn all that God has for you. God has such a good plan. Let's love on them just one more time. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Everybody say this after me. Say, my stuff is important to him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, don't forget Wednesday service, 6:30. See you all there, and then we'll see you next Sunday as well at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.